Good to be with y'all here at this meeting. It's very good to be back at McClenny. It's been 15 years since I've been to McClenny. I guess I preached so good the last time, you felt you didn't need to hear me again. Maybe I preached so bad you never wanted to hear me again. Brother Larry Webb preaches good, he gets invited back the next year, but I don't know what I done. Just gonna do the best I can. Then Brother Dave puts me second out of three on Friday morning. I love you, Brother Dave, but then he says he loves me, and then he does things like that. And in Texas, it's against the articles of faith to preach past 12. And you live in Texas, Brother Larry Webb, remember that. I'm going to preach till 11:59 and see what he does. Then I'm going to have a good time with that. It's going to be all right. The Lord will bless. I ask you to pray for me. I do dearly love Brother David, the church. I even love Ronnie Loudermilk. I love him. I can't help it.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. Stop when you're ahead, brother. Stop when you're ahead. Never learn. Stop when you're ahead. Gonna keep working on that. Now, I had a sermon that I brought with me, had it on the plane, and had real good liberty preaching it on the plane. I enjoyed it very much. I would have joined the church. I can already remember and wasn't 30,000 feet in the air. I had it last night. I went to bed with that sermon. That sermon rocked me to sleep. It was so good. It was just really good. It was a good message. And I had it this morning, and it's clean gone forever. I don't know why. Well, it happened, and then Brother Ronnie gets up there, and he's talking about Jude, and you know, I don't know what I'm going to do when I get up here. I don't know. I don't have anything because it's gone. And I thought, well, you know, the thought came, just go up there and preach the exact same sermon Ronnie Loudermilk preached. That's exactly what I'm going to do. You don't believe it, do you? No, you're going to hear the exact same sermon. But it's going to be flavored with me, not with him, because we are who we are, and the Lord calls us to preach, and we bring what we have with what the Lord has given us, and we pray that the Lord bless. But these are wonderful verses of scriptures. They really are. Amen. And they're worthy of consideration. They're worthy of reconsideration. Now, I actually had thought about Jude, Brother Ronnie. I did. And so I want to go there. We're going to go back to the book of Jude. There's a verse I want to get. Let's just read the first verse. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them who that are sanctified by God, the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called. I think he's talking to people that are saved. They're saved. They're all saved. They don't need any more eternal salvation. They got it. All right? They're sanctified by the Lord. That means they're made holy and set apart. All right? That's good. And then, you know, what would it do for us if we were sanctified and set apart, but we're not preserved? Then we're not going to stay sanctified.
Yeah.
We're not. Preservation is extremely important. It keeps us in that position that God chose us in before the foundation of the world. And it's not predicated upon what we do or what we don't do. We don't have to do anything to get it. We can't do anything to lose it. But there are things we ought to do to be thankful for it.
Amen.
Which is why we're here today.
Right.
We are here to worship the Lord. I want to worship the Lord. I want to worship the Lord with you. I want to hear the Lord's name glorified.
Amen.
I really, really want to feel the Spirit of God. I love to have that feeling. There are times that I'm in a meeting and it just dawned on me, you're feeling the Spirit of God right now, Brother Dave. And it's an amazing thing. And the best place, it may be the only place you can get it like that, is here in church, as our beloved Brother Crawford talked to us about. And then he says that we are called. What good would it be to be sanctified and preserved, but we're not alive? That wouldn't do us any good. We need all three of these things. So now we've been sanctified, we're preserved in that, and we have life to enjoy it and to look forward to everything that this entails. And this we ought to preach. We ought to preach this. This is the truth. This is what he's going to call the faith that was once delivered to the saints. There's no other faith but this. And if it's not this, then it is not the faith. It's not a faith. It's a perversion of something that's not even to be considered. There's only one gospel. There's not another gospel. I know it says another gospel, but then he says, but it's not another.
Right.
So it's not a gospel. Don't put the word gospel in something that's not the gospel.
Amen.
And don't put faith in something that's not the faith. And so he said, I, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. That's a really great term, isn't it? Common salvation. Now I know a brother that used the word common, and he got in trouble for saying it. That was Peter on the housetop when he saw that vision. And basically what the Lord was telling him is, you're going to preach to people that aren't Jews. These are my people. That's what he's saying. Saw a vision. There's all these creeping things. And the Lord said, rise, Peter, kill and eat. He said, not so, Lord. He's going to give what he thinks the Lord wants him to say. Right? All right. Now, who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who's been his counselor? Here's what I think the Lord wants me to say. So I'm going to say, not so, Lord. I haven't eaten anything common nor unclean. Oh, no. Don't say that. No. You're not a good Jew right now. No. This is not a time to be a good Jew. It's time to be a good Christian. It's time to be a good... Things have changed, Peter. Where were you on Pentecost, right? Did you see that? That's right. You were there. Oh, okay. Okay, and now you're going back to the law? Oh, no, I didn't eat anything common or unclean, because that's what you said. And the Lord said, what the Lord hath cleansed, what God has cleansed, call not thou common nor unclean.
That's right.
All right, so, now, the word common means the same. In this case, common salvation. What is being meant is that everybody is saved the same way. Okay? Everybody. Well, by the things I just mentioned, Brother Gary, Brother Matt, okay. It's Cunningham's. You got to watch them. keep talking. Love you, Brother Matt. Just imagine if I didn't. All right. Yes, the Spirit, the preservation, the sanctification, and the calling. That's the faith. Now, that's the common salvation. We're all saved the same way. The Old Testament people aren't saved differently than the New Testament.
Right.
People under the age of 12 aren't saved differently than anybody over the age of 12.
That's right.
Infants aren't saved any different than anybody else.
That's right.
We're all saved the same way. You know why? Because there's none righteous, no, not one.
Yeah.
We needed a common salvation because there was a common depravity.
Right. Yeah.
All right, there's none righteous. How many righteous are there? None. What did you say? None. Well, I still don't know what you mean. I meant no, not one. Really? Yes. How many? None. But I no, not one. He's taking the argument away from us. There's none that doeth good. How many? None. Well, I can, no, not one. No, not one. There's none. There's. You mean everybody is a sinner? Right. Yeah. Everybody's depraved by nature. By nature. By nature. We are all bankrupt, no good, hell-deserving sinners in our nature. See, Primitive Baptists can amen that. And I'll admit it myself because it's true. I can say, I'll say that on my job, and they won't say amen. They'll say you need counseling. You're something wrong with you. Where's your self-esteem? Where's your self-respect? Where is it? Where is it? That's part of depravity. I want to feel good about myself. What's there to feel good about? You're not that good. You're not that good. No. Stop it. Stop it. Stop. Stop. Get over yourself. Well, I'm here to feel good. What gives you the right to feel good? This ain't about us. This is about Christ. Who saved us, preserved us, sanctified us. We're all saved. All the elect of God are saved the same way. And another aspect of that word common means they're all saved to the same place. The same place. There are no levels of heaven. That's the dumbest thing ever thought of. Oh, there are levels of perfection. Excuse me, define that word perfection for me. Because if it's perfect, then it can't get any better. How can there be levels? If there's levels of perfection, then you've got a lot of levels of not perfection. And then there's one level of perfection. But that's, no. What about, we heard about the crowns. We heard about the crowns, right? Right? If you get a crown in heaven, you're not going to wear it for very long. Because when you see the Lamb, you're going to cast the crown. And Paul was not talking about the literal crown, as Brother Lawrence talked about. He was talking about his future state in Christ, body, soul, and spirit, in a state of perfection. The word crown means the apex. You can't get any better than this. All right? I was watching a documentary about Jimmy Carter. I'm going to be I'm not a political person, but I was watching a documentary about Jimmy Carter. I don't know why. It just was. And it started talking about his Camp David Accord, where Egypt and Israel signed a peace agreement. And the narrator said, and this was the crowning moment of his presidency, and it was never this good again. They were right. Historically, they're correct. That's all I'm going to say about that. But I like what they say. It was the crowning moment. This is the apex. You can't get better than that. Heaven is the crowning moment of existence. Amen. And it doesn't get better because it can't get any better. Because you'll see him as he is. And you'll know as you are known. You do not know how that feels right now. You get a glimpse of it, but it's just a glimpse. It's like Moses just saw the hinder parts of God. Just you can't see that glory in perfection and live. You would expire. I was thinking about that last night when these brethren were preaching. How great thou art. I don't know how great he is. I know he's great, but I don't know how great. I asked Brother Elder, one of my fathers in ministry, Elder J.P. Dale, I said, Brother Dale, have you ever just, in all the 60 years of your preaching, do you feel like you've really come to a knowledge of how great God is? He says, Brother David, I don't even know if I'll know it in heaven. That's how great it is. Yeah. That's what he said. We're saved to the same place. We're saved by the same way. We're saved by the grace of God. That's common. If it's anything else, then it's not what he's going to talk about here, because he said it was necessary. I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation. It was needful. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Now, the only people who can understand the faith are the saints. And they don't need to understand the faith to be saints, because they're already saints. The faith does not make you sanctified. Believing the gospel does not save you to heaven. You're already there. I believe in a too late doctrine. Quietness. You can hear a pin drop right now. Yeah, I do. Because once you know about the Lord Jesus Christ, it's too late. You've already been saved. It's too late. You're never going to get there first. The wind bloweth where it listeth. When you hear the effect, feel the effects of the wind, it's already there. It's too late. The wind's there. My friends, which way would you want other than this? Because there's no other way of salvation except through this.
Amen.
If it's not this, then we're universalists. We're all going to the same place. People say we're all working to get to the same place. I say, and by the grace of God, we won't get there.
Yeah.
Without Christ, everybody is going to hell. Nobody goes to heaven. Heaven is just, well, you know, it has to be by grace because there's already people there. How do you know that? How do I? Well, I know at least three people that are there.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, four, five? Yeah, the numbers is getting good. It's going the right direction. Going the right direction. I know Moses is there. I know Elijah's there. I know Enoch is there. I know the Lord is there. I know Paul. Paul talked about that crown of righteousness. He says, I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I'm going on a trip. I'm going on a one-way ticket. I ain't coming back. No, I'm going to stay there. When I get to heaven, I don't want to go back. Now, it is the faith that was once delivered to saints. And he said, you earnestly contend for that. That means you defend it. You prove it. You teach it. You preach it. Paul said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. You be ready to talk about the truth. That's all you want to hear is the truth.
Yeah.
And nothing but the truth. We love the truth. We should never get tired of the truth.
Amen.
We should never get tired of the doctrine. If we are, something's wrong with us.
Amen.
We've departed.
Right.
We're not in the faith once delivered to the saints. If we don't want to talk about the truth, then what is there to talk about? Alabama Crimson Tide? The Texas Longhorns? No, I don't want to talk about any of those guys. I've quit. I've done. I've waved the white flag. No more football. I'm out of it. I'm tired. I'm tired of it. And I'm tired of politics getting the football. And I'm tired of people using stupid football for politics. That's all I'm going to say about that. And I saw my son, my friends, last summer. I'm going to keep going. He keeps going. I saw my son. He took an oath, and he joined our Air Force. And they had this flag ceremony, and I stood up and heard the words of how they are going to give their life, if necessary, to defend this flag. And then I see some dope football player give me a break. I'm done with you.
Amen.
Pulling the plug, pulling the cable.
Amen.
That's it. You've lost me forever. I'm gone.
Preach it, brother.
Amen. Amen. My son's over there. He's going to defend you. And you're not going to rise for the flag. Then get out of here. Go to Russia. I don't care. Just get out of here. Get out of here. I'm going to talk to you, brother. Good. Come talk to me about it. I would love to talk to you about it. Please. You're not going to like it. I got some things to tell you. Alrighty. Now. I'm not wearing my glasses, so I can't see the clock. Oh, goodness gracious. All right, I got 4.5 minutes. I know I could go on, but I'm going to stop at 4.5 minutes. All right, so if we have meetings like this, we're going to preach, right? We're going to preach. We're going to try to preach. We hope the Lord blesses us to preach. We're going to sit and listen to preaching. Hope the Lord blesses us. I want to hear the truth. I want to hear the truth preached.
Amen.
Okay? I want to hear it proven. I want to hear it reproved. All right? I want to be reminded and reminded again. I want to know what the Bible says. I want to know what we ought to believe. Now, I'm going to get on a little soapbox. I don't really care about what the church down the road is preaching. All right? We do not need to tear other people down to make us feel better about ourselves.
Amen.
Okay? The only time that we are to get in a, may I say, a debate of time is if somebody comes into this building and preaches heresy. Otherwise, leave it alone and preach the truth. Preach the word. Don't preach somebody else's word. Don't preach against somebody else's word. Preach the word of the Lord. Preach the truth. The truth does not need to tear somebody down to prop up the truth. The truth stands on its own. So I would that our preachers would get off that and stop it. Stop it. Leave the Arminians alone. I want my generation of children coming up don't even know what an Arminian is. There's somebody that lives in Armenia. That's all you need to know. That's all you need to know. Man, you don't need to hear any. That's my alarm. That's my alarm. He's got an alarm. We defend the truth, the faith, once delivered to the saints. There is no other revealed truth. Now, if somebody comes to you and says, I've got something different, be very, very careful. Red flags go up. When I hear some preacher got some new thing, there's nothing new under the sun. So that means even that heresy you're about to preach has already been preached before. You're really not that smart, brother. Okay? Some dummy already thought of that heresy already. Okay? All right? So why don't you just preach the truth? All right? Just go to the 8th chapter of Romans. When I grew up in the Primitive Baptist Church, I thought the book of Romans started at chapter 8. I didn't know there was 7 other verses, chapters. And then I thought, okay, there's the book of Romans, and then there's the book of Romans 8. I thought there were 2 different books. And I thought it was Romans 8, one word, Romans 8. And I couldn't find the book of Romans 8. That's all I ever heard. What a terrible life I had. You know it? You know, I got drugged to church. I had to sit still. I had to listen to preaching. We had preachers come over. I had to listen to them talk about the Bible. I went to sleep hearing them talk about these truths. And I'm going to stand up here and tell you, I arise and call my mom and dad blessed.
Amen.
And I give them, I praise them for raising me and my brothers in the faith that was once delivered to the saints. May God bless us to hold on to it until the Lord comes back. And then the best meeting of your life will begin. Because as good as this meeting maybe is, it won't beat that meeting. As I like to say, brethren, the best meeting is yet to come. Your best day hasn't happened yet. The best you've ever felt, you haven't felt it yet. But it's guaranteed by the grace, mercy, and providence of God. We got a lot to be thankful for. Then let's keep going. May God bless you. Thank you all very much.